Sometimes the best way to deal with heavy subject matter is with a light touch. The artist Nick Cave does something similar with his whimsical, brightly colored costumes. His subject is police brutality. So how do those two things go together? We sent reporter Zach Rosen to find out.
It didn't start with Trayvon Martin. But since the death of the Florida teenager and the birth of the Black Lives Matter movement, a lot of white Americans are being exposed to a brutal reality that's as old as this country. In his new book, Between the World and Me, Ta-Nehisi Coates writes,
"Here is what I would like you to know. In America, it is traditional to destroy the black body. It is heritage."
The destruction of black bodies, the tragedy of it, that's what catalyzed the artist Nick Cave. In March of 1991, he saw the horrifying, now infamous footage of Rodney King, beaten by Los Angeles police officers after a high-speed chase. Nick Cave, a black man himself, was thinking about Rodney King when he ended up at a park near his home in Chicago. He found himself sitting on a bench, looking down at the ground, and
was looking at this twig, and that twig became this sort of metaphor for, something discarded, something viewed less than, dismissed.
But even though the twigs were discarded, Cave figured maybe they could protect him.
Protect my soul.
So he began to collect the twigs, thousands of them. 2 weeks later, he had built an entire suit made of the tiny brown twigs. And when he realized he could put the suit on, he stepped inside it and began moving around. The twigs made sound when he walked.
So that really made me think about the role of protest.
Inside the suit, Cave could disappear.
It's all about, a form of sort of protection, isolation, concealment.
Wearing the sound suit, he was no longer a black man. His race and gender were made invisible.
I can see you, you can't see me.
It was a new layer of skin, a beautiful suit of armor, a suit Rodney King couldn't put on to protect himself, a suit Eric Garner didn't have, or Martin Luther King Jr., or Tamir Rice, or Emmett Till, or Renisha McBride. Of course, the list goes on. That's why Cave sound suits are so relevant right now.
I think his work gives us a starting point for conversations we really have to have. My name is Laura Mott, and I'm the curator of contemporary art and design at Cranbrook Art Museum.
Nick Cave has built 500 sound suits since that first one. Some to wear, others are static sculptures. There's one I love with a blue Victrola speaker in place of the head. A few of the suits remind me of a multicolor Snuffleupagus. They're made of anything Cave finds rummaging through flea markets.
He'll have things like bottle caps and beads and
toy drums, globes, metal buckets,
doilies and sweaters,
tambourines, purses,
and these industrial wire mesh sifters that have now become heads.
Nick Cave earned his MFA from the Cranbrook Academy of Art in suburban Detroit. When Laura Mott invited him to come back to his alma mater for a solo exhibition, he jumped at the chance, just as long as they staged some massive public performances in the city of Detroit, featuring local musicians and dancers.
Now it's his, largest performance series to date.
What emerged is a project called Hear Hear, H-E-R-E-H-E-A-R, Hear Hear.
Hear Hear is sort of like holding court.
What do you mean?
Meaning like, Hear Hear, just getting everyone's attention. Something is about to happen.
Hear Hear is a gallery show at the Cranbrook Art Museum, where about 40 sound suits and a handful of other sculptures are on display. But it also includes a series of dance and music shows built on a simple yet intriguing premise. Nick Cave will fill a box with sound suits and anything else he thinks of. He'll give that box to local dancers and musicians, and they'll have 1 week to create a performance using the materials. So that brings me to choreographer Biba Bell and 9 dancers. They're about to open the mystery box. That's event coordinator Greg Bass. Alongside the dancers is composer Frank Paul and his band.
All right, so what do we have here?
The box is filled with 2 sound suits, one all black, the other all white, entirely covered in raffia paper. Imagine a human-sized pom-pom. There's also a 30-foot long black and orange cloth, with five sets of holes cut out for arms and legs and heads to go through. After 5 days of rehearsals, the performance begins. It's set just east of downtown Detroit at a former rail line turned greenway. It starts with Frank Paul and his band cutting through the crowd in a musical procession. Behind them, two figures emerge, one in the black raffia paper sound suit, the other in the white one. They move in and out of the crowd, playfully at times, maybe a little menacing too. Here's choreographer Biba Bell.
There is such a fantastic kind of magical element to seeing the performers in the sound suits out in the world.
Meanwhile, in another section of the crowd, a different dancer shows up. He's wrapped in the black and orange cloth. He looks like a surrealist samurai. Eventually, the musicians and all 10 dancers end up under an overpass. The moment that sticks out the most comes when the two dancers wearing the sound suits ceremonially take them off.
Kind of meeting your reflection or your other. And then also this sort of moment of exposure. Oh, there's a body under there.
Their 20-minute performance is full of joy and sorrow and ritual. Afterwards, I talked to local art critic Rosie Sharp.
Well, I think Nick Cave is really on point with some of his messages about the vulnerability of these bodies in space. It's sad that that is still as relevant now as when he first started making these sound suits.
Cave has been staging dance labs and other public performances throughout the city all summer. But one of the main draws to his sprawling exhibition can only be seen back at the Cranbrook Art Museum.
Can you describe what we're looking at?
So this is TM-13, which is Trayvon Martin, a sculpture that I had completed for this exhibition.
The Trayvon Martin piece begins with a black mannequin. It's wearing jeans, sneakers, and a hoodie, hands behind its back. And then the mannequin is surrounded by hollow plastic figures,
functioning as guardians in this place of innocence.
We've got Santa, Jesus,
and a little bear, and then an angel on his back.
Then the piece is completely covered in a beaded web, as if Trayvon Martin is trapped.
Very repressed and very tight to the body, concealing it, suffocating it, bonding it.
But the front of the figure's right foot is poking out of the webbing,
providing a sense of relief to a degree.
TM-13 is grounded in the real world, but it's elevated to a dreamier place. Cave makes us confront our country's brutal relationship with race and violence. He critiques the way we treat each other, but he also reminds us how powerful the human imagination can be.
I don't even know if I'm making art. I'm not thinking about it like that. I'm just lucky that I have this medium as a way of sort of expressing things that are difficult for me and the world.
For Studio 360, I'm Zach Rosen.
Nick Cave's exhibit, Here, Here, is up at the Cranbrook Art Museum outside Detroit until October 11th. And you can see pictures of his sound suits at studio360.org.